It's XFM, it's podcast time. Fanny's thrilled that you are online. There's laughs and chat and news and stuff. Thank God you've got Dial Up.
Hello, how are you? Welcome to podcast number 55 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. And on this week's important podcast, Quirk Quexquerience Queeve is the name of Quizface. I'll show you my business. Producer Dave gets back into the swing of things. There's a really long poem. Damon Albarn swings by. And we begin with a clip chosen by Mrs. Eleanor Weatherbury from the Federation of Micronesia.
Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace.
So I hope you had a good weekend. I had a nice weekend. The Olympics hit me. I got Olympic fever. You know? Managed to have time to sit down and watch these things, Matt Dyson.
Yeah.
It was great.
You can't avoid it, can you, really? We're doing so well.
Yeah, I know. What's going on? Is it that we are familiar with the climate? Is it we're familiar with the terrain? What's going on here?
I think home advantage plays a big part. I mean, if you ever wondered what effect home advantage had.
Yes.
Here it is.
Yes.
I mean, look at this. We've never done so well.
No, exactly.
We're good at everything now.
It turns out we can do almost anything, even sports I've never heard of.
Yeah.
We're very good at
rubbish at football. We can't win a penalty shootout. But no. that's some things don't change.
No.
But Andy Murray, a mate, what an amazing result.
Incredible. Just brilliant. And, I mean, last night, weren't you proud to be British as well? I mean, it's on the screen now. I'm looking up and there's Usain Bolt and... You know, you get some of the greatest athletes in the world, and they've trained for years, thousands of hours worth of training. And it's in Britain that someone throws a bottle onto the track.
Yeah.
Just a moment before. How long had that person been thinking of doing
that?
I mean, for God, just kind of... At no point did that person ever consider all that training.
I know.
And they're just like, I'm going to make myself look great for a quarter of a second in front of Barry.
Yeah.
Never mind, eh?
It wasn't in keeping with the mood of the nation.
It wasn't quite the Olympic spirit,
really,
was it?
No.
I'm not sure what you can say about that, because the man's been arrested.
The man's been arrested, yeah.
Probably have to move on.
Leave it
at that. I'm just saying what happened. A bottle hit the thing. But yeah. Your favourite sport so far?
Still the table tennis. I can't get enough of the ping pong.
I haven't seen any of the ping pong.
Oh, you should watch it. It's great.
The only ticket I wanted was the ping pong.
The rallies in that are just unbelievable. And they move their whole bodies so much. Just holding a little bat and a small ball.
It's the one thing I want to see, Matt. Can you get me in? Is it finished?
Hit the red button. I think it might still be on.
No, I want to see it live.
Oh, I'd love to see it live. You can't get tickets though, can you?
You can get me tickets.
I can't get you tickets to this.
You've always got a scam on somehow.
I can get you tickets to some things, not this.
Well, just look out the window when the news is on and go, where is
There's
Matt?
There's no room for liggers at the Olympics.
No,
they don't let any blaggers in.
My friend managed to get tickets. The only thing he can see is the female weightlifting, which is, you know, it's a great event and everything, but it does make him seem like he's just a massive female weightlifting sort of fan.
Yeah, like that's his niche area.
That's just what he enjoys.
XFM.
So, Damon swung by. And when Damon swung by, I didn't realise, Matt, that you play a central role in Blur history, don't you?
Well, I was in a film. I don't like to talk about it, you know.
Talk about it a bit.
Bang on about it, but my voice was in the film at the start.
What's the film, No Distance Left to Run?
No Distance Left to Run, yeah.
And your voice almost is one of the first voices you hear in that Blur.
It's in a couple of times.
So I imagine Damon, you know, he was full of excitement at hearing this. He wasn't, but here's the interview. Good morning, you're with the XFM Breakfast Show. My name is Danny Wallace, and before me, an icon of his generation, musically and in many other ways as well, is Damon Albarn. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Good. I'm pleased. Matt, just describe how Damon's sitting.
He's got his hands behind his neck. He's looking very relaxed, which is good.
I've been here a while. I'm just making myself at home.
Damon, we'll start with an unusual moment. It's almost like a This Is Your Life moment. Do you recognise this voice?
After years of rumour, Blur have announced they're making a comeback.
Any ideas there, Damon?
He looks bemused. Maybe my delivery was slightly different.
Do it properly.
But it was like, after years of talk that it may happen, Blur have announced they're making a comeback.
Dun, 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 dun. What more am I supposed to do?
This is really awkward.
What am I supposed to do at this point?
You're supposed to guess.
No, I want to play along, but
all
I
right.
don't know exactly what you expect from me.
It was on the big screen, a big film.
It's part of
about
your
certain
history,
band coming back.
Right.
There was a bit little talking head section of news at the start where people announced the comeback.
This is very embarrassing.
Oh, okay.
Very embarrassing for all concerned.
Thanks for bringing this up.
yeah. Just explain it. What was it?
Well, I was one of the voices doing that.
Yeah.
How could you not recognise it?
What? Well, I mean, I think you're putting me on the spot there. I think if you'd have, like, you know...
I know, you put me on the spot as well, to be honest.
No, I know, it's not fair on you or me.
Yeah, I know, it's true. Well, he's embarrassed us both.
I thought it would go better than that, to be honest, but...
Well, I think the fact that we've been able to talk about our embarrassment...
Yeah, I feel a bit better now. Yeah,
you bonded with me a bit. Whereas I feel still very much an outsider. So, let's talk about Blur 21, the box. And it's a great-looking box. It's a big blue box, packed.
It looks pretty much like...
A box.
A blue box.
It does, but with a Blur logo on it. And when, you know, when you see it, Damon, talk me through how you feel. It's such a great body of work. Are you filled with pride when you see it, or just memories, or none of the above?
Well, I mean, I haven't delved in it to it too much. But
he's not seen the film. He doesn't know anything about the box.
No. But I've listened to what's known as the Rarities 1 and Rarities 2.
Uh-huh.
Which I couldn't put down, really, because, I mean, you know, obviously it's a big part of my life, but, I mean, it took me back into very particular studios and sort of times of year and sort of who I kind of sort of was hanging out with at that moment in time, and I just everything, really, about, in a way, it sort of brought me right back. More than anything else, because in a way I'm familiar with the other stuff.
Although, well, of course.
You know, but this stuff I genuinely hadn't listened to for a long time. And then it made me realise how much more stuff there is out there that wasn't used for this box set.
Sure.
But, I mean, it's amazing. I really enjoyed it. I mean, if you're into the stuff we did, then I think those two CDs in particular are going to be really entertaining.
Absolutely. And was it, I suppose it sounds, the way you're describing it, a bit like opening up a photo album that you...
Well, yeah, precisely.
So you had your own personal nostalgia for this.
And experiencing memories you didn't realise you had.
Yes. I wanted to finish that sentence for you, but I wanted you to finish it as well. And so give me one in particular. Was there one memory that came back and what was it associated to? Was it a studio or a person or a time? And what did it feel like to remember?
There was one song called Cross Channel Love, and I'd completely forgotten about it, but I mean, it's sort of 20-odd years old, but I mean, it could have been a really great tune.
Could have been.
In a sense, it could have been
bigger.
Well, bigger, but just could have been finished. But I really, it's just fantastic that it's like that, but I sort of never took it further than just being a demo, you know.
Are you not tempted to kind of plunder your own work in that sense?
I don't think so.
No?
I think I'd rather just try and do something new.
Just move on.
XFM.
Neil in Kingston's just texted in. Just to say, loving the tunes. Keep them coming. That's it, I'm afraid, for today, Neil. It's all... Ooh. It's all the tunes. Now we get onto the puns, the riddles, and the wordplay. And of course, the welcoming back of the producer's producer, Baby Dave Masterman. Here he is. Hiya, Dave.
Hi.
How was your holiday?
It was lovely.
That's wonderful news.
I didn't do much.
Well, that's a holiday, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, exactly.
That's good.
I read a lot.
Did you?
Yeah.
What did you read? Books, magazines?
I read two brilliant books, actually.
Did you?
One by Anthony Kiedis, frontman of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, his autobiography.
Uh-huh.
And a book called Kill Your Friends.
By the wonderful John Niven.
Both rather, kind of...
Debauched.
Debauched, yeah.
Debauched.
Yeah, I would say that, yeah.
Are you just kicking back reading about debauched lives?
Yeah.
Kill Your Friends. I've basically got everyone in this building into that book.
You have, yeah.
The last book everyone's read in this building.
Yeah, what have
is
they been doing? It's been around for years, isn't it?
I know. You know, get on this. So just the two books then.
I'm now onto my third, which is some sort of thriller investigative drama, which is all right.
Who's that?
I can't remember. I'll let you know tomorrow.
So just the three books then, not nothing by anyone else.
I think we should always start the show with like this book corner.
Yeah.
What are you reading at the moment?
What
Danny?
I'm getting at is there were no books by your presenter Danny Wallace.
No, I finished all your books.
Really?
Yeah.
Seems unlikely. When we went to Benicassim.
Oh, here we go.
When we went to Benicassim, everybody, Dave was sitting on the plane reading one of my books next to me, and I had to almost make him stop. And then he was sat in the middle of you, Matt Dyson, and the news team's Chloe Aust, You were both reading books.
Engrossed, weren't they?
They were engrossed. And I looked over, and the only person who decided to stop reading their book was Dave Masterman.
Yeah, that's true.
Reading my book. Yeah. And I was like, what's going on? Why are they... What's better about their books?
You actually leant over and made a real point of it.
I made a terrific point of it.
He could put it down.
It's very put-downable.
Very put-downable.
And then, on the way back from Benicassim, you decided to continue reading, and then you went and got your bag, and you left the book on the plane.
I was coming back for it. Yeah, I was coming back for the book.
You left the book on the plane in the little flappy bit where the magazines go, and I had to stop him and go. And think about how this looks to all the other passengers. The author of the book has to pick up the book and go, excuse me, you've forgotten your book. Oh. And there are people going, that's his book. That's his. He wrote that. I look like the neediest author alive. Just sitting next to you going, quick, keep reading. Got any questions? Got any questions for me? Keep reading. So you didn't read any of my books. That's absolutely fair enough.
XFM.
I've been through the papers, everybody. Let's get my showbiz in the no-biz update. Doesn't really work. Showbiz in the no-biz. Now you're in the no-biz. This is showbiz.
I showed you the business.
Be quiet, Dave. Yeah, I showed you the business. I showed you my business.
That's the one.
I'm Danny Wallace. Let me show you my business. So, page 17 of The Sun, Matt. A picture of Jesse J wearing some big glasses.
WTF.
WTF indeed. Big glasses. Just big blue glasses, Matt.
Who'd have thought she'd wear big glasses?
That's come out of the blue, hasn't it?
Yeah, really unexpected.
Because there were other pictures of her in the paper yesterday. No glasses.
People will be talking about this one for days to come.
What's with the glasses?
Yeah. You couldn't make it up.
Yeah, couldn't make it up. Picture of Gwen Stefani on a beach.
Pinch me.
Pinch you. I will pinch you. Gwen Stefani just hanging out on a beach. Ready access to the water, the sand, all that.
Yeah,
she's always on a beach.
Not posed for these pictures, I presume. I mean, they're just
not
taken.
Posed for, but paid for.
Yeah, just happened to be releasing a new album with her old band.
Yes. Spotted. Chipmunk enjoying dinner with friends.
This is unbelievable.
It is. Well, we all have to eat.
Chipmunk, that would be amazing.
That would be terrific.
Yeah, that would be the story.
Sarah Harding was in the duty-free shop of the airport recently. As I'm looking at a picture, she bought some chocolates, I can make out, and a big box of jelly beans. What the papers don't go into is that is, of course, a sealed bag, isn't it? Can't open that up on the plane, so she'll have to enjoy them when she arrives at her destination.
Oh.
Let me write this down.
It's just my little insight there. Letitia Dean is returning to EastEnders,
yes.
And she admits, and that's the word they use, she admits... She's bought some special eye cream.
WTF.
Don't know if you've got an opinion on that at all.
Why?
Doesn't go into that. And Tom Hardy, finally, ending on a big name. Tom Hardy. Apparently, bases some of his characters, right, when he's looking for little characteristics or what to bring to a role, on people he's seen. Where, Matt?
In London.
On Come Dine With Me.
Oh, what?
The quote is,
what?
I really do like it, says the big man.
I really do like it.
You can imagine.
What's the world coming to?
What is the world coming to when Tom Hardy, one of the greatest actors out there, bases characters on people he's seen on Come Dine With Me, Matt?
Unbelievable stuff.
Anyway, now you're up to date.
Thanks for showing us your business, Daniel.
Now you're in the no biz.
XFM.
Today's caller, who's on the line, is confirmed listener Adam from Billericay. Adam, are you there?
Hi, Danny.
Hello, Adam. Are you in Billericay right now?
I'm actually in Brentwood, but close enough.
But you were in Billericay earlier, and you're returning to Billericay later.
I will be.
There you go. And I'll tell you what, this is a brilliant sort of weird bit of serendipity. It couldn't have worked out better. Well, I'll reveal all in just a moment. Are you ready to play Quiz Face?
I am.
Then, Adam, let's get quizzical.
Quiz Face.
Now, you should know the rules by now, Adam.
Yep.
Today's Quiz Face is...
Quirk, Quacksquirience, Queeve.
Wow. I did not see that coming. It's Quirk, Quacksquirience, Queeve. This is part two, Adam, of our quiz-based look at the XFM Breakfast Show team. You'll remember, of course, if you look at your listener pad, that just 6 months ago, we injected a confirmed listener into Matt Dyson's glutinous orange innards for what became known on the shocked streets of London as Quicen. Today, though, it's Quirk Quicksquarience Queeve.
Quirk Quicksquarience Queeve.
So, Adam, you are Stephen Malcolm Geraldine Ferdinando. You're 21. You learned your trade stacking shelves at Waitrose Billericay, and you've been fighting that posh label ever since. You're at the top of your game, Adam. You're on top of the world. Billericay is your oyster. The blue boar, your bitch.
I get to sit in the family seating section near the back. Plus, I've got a trampoline in the garden.
Settle down. You've managed to secure work experience on the XFM Breakfast Show, and this, well, this is your time to shine. But last night, you had lasagna for your tea. It was a Tuesday. You had salad on the side, a simple lettuce, cucumber and tomato combination, a pint of squash. Your dad, Malcolm, actually made a joke about it looking a bit like beer because it had some foam on top. from the warm tap that he accidentally used. You know what he's like. You giggled, as always. Then you began to eat.
Dad, you're so silly.
But did you, A, Adam, did you, A, eat at the dinner table? Or did you, B, eat in front of the television, watching the people of Walford and dreaming of a better life? Now, before you answer, Adam, work experience Steve is currently wired up to 6,000 volts of pure British electricity. Answer correctly, Adam, and we will fill his feed bag with apples, as we do around this time every show. Answer incorrectly, Adam, and we will ask Steve to turn on the electricity machine, to which, remember, he is wired. So what is your answer? Is it A, eat at the dinner table, or B, eat in front of the TV?
I'm going to go with A, eat at the dinner table.
You're saying A, eat at the dinner table. Release the apples.
Yes.
Excellent work. Look at Steve snuffling around.
Oh, apples. We're growing our own tree at Cub Scouts.
So well done, yes. Only on Friday nights are the Ferdinandi permitted lap-based dinners. Absolutely delighted with these apples, Adam. Excellent work. They're all Cox Pippins, which we bought at cost from low-quality rejected fruit salad stock from a poor cafe. Back to Steve's evening, the Stevening, and the action does not stop there, Adam.
Oh. I'll get it.
Now, Adam, it's Ryan at the door.
Hello, Ryan. Have you got my video?
Ryan is Steve's best friend. Ryan's brought Steve's Danger Mouse video back. Steve's already watched it to death. He's not bothered about that. But then Ryan has a proposal. He wants to go BMXing. Steve's unsure. Malcolm's in one of his moods. And Steve can only go BMXing to the end of the road, just where the bump is. And only when Malcolm's watching from his deck chair on the lawn. So what does he decide? Let's wire him up. Does Steve decide, A, to say no, he's not got permission, and anyway he wants to rework his spokey dokies? Or B, yeah, forget Malcolm, let's do this. Is that A, no, he's not got permission? Or B, yes, I laugh in the face of my father's authority?
Ooh, I think I'm going to have to go for A.
You're going for A, saying no, Malcolm would not like it. Release the apples. Yes. Excellent. Yes. Snuffing around again.
We never get apples on a Wednesday.
So well done. That's two out of two, Adam, which means just one thing left to ask. Steve suddenly gets a text. Oh, it's from Danny Wallace, celebrated host of the XFM Breakfast Show. This is the greatest night of Steve's life. It begins, we are, but how, Adam, does that phrase end?
XFM.
Yay! You did it, Adam! More apples for Steve, please. More apples for Steve. That's really treat him this morning. Matt, give Steve a little hug to say well done.
Come here, Steve.
Whoa! Don't put your hand there. Don't put your hand on that. Oh, God.
My thighs!
Oh, well, that's another work experience gone.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet.
A Luciano Pavarotti impersonator. Is he still in work? Do you think he's still getting work? A Luciano Pavarotti impersonator was refused a personalised debit card after staff at his bank believed that he had used the singer's image. right, on his card. So his whole job is to look like Pavarotti. And his face is right there. His face is right in front of them. And they're looking at the photo of his face and going, it's not your face. It's Pavarotti's face. He's going, well, no, it's my face. My face is here. They go, well, anyone could say that, can't they? Oh, yeah. He's going, no, this is my actual... This is my face. That's a photo of my face. And they're going, that's a bit... That is a photo, sir, of Luciano Pavarotti.
The hidden pain of the lookalikey.
The hidden pain.
See, you don't normally hear about this, do you?
The suburban trauma. Exactly, when he's off stage. It's fine when he's on stage, isn't he? Looking like Pavarotti. Yeah. Everyone loves him. Oh, you look like Pavarotti. This is wonderful. Off stage, 23 hours a day of pain. Can't get a debit card because he looks too much. So the father of one said he was shocked to be penalised for looking like someone. And the bank have now apologised, saying the error was an understandable mistake. They're going to give him a card. But you're right, Matthew. That is the hidden trauma of the Pavarotti life.
No one ever thinks about this. They think it's all one big joyride, being a lookalike.
They do. They think it's just laughs all day long, doesn't it? Just living the life of Riley. It
can be really tough.
Can be tough.
Yeah.
Can be tough. I've got nothing more to say about that, really, Matt. But I just enjoyed it. It caught my eye at the last possible second before that finished. Just the poor man. There's just a picture of him here with the giant hanky that Pavarotti used to sing with, which I think is probably there just to soak up as many tears.
He's so good at his job that he's being penalised for it.
Yes.
Too good at his job.
Yeah. It sounds like you're going to try and make a bold claim about you being penalised somehow for being too good at your job. It's a claim that'll never be made. We are Let's get the good news. Matthew, what's the good news where the listeners are?
Angry Toshiba nerd Faye from last week. She's been back in touch. She says, good news, guys. I went on the Boris zip wire at the weekend in Victoria Park and didn't get stuck.
Oh, nice work.
Good news.
She just moved to Walthamstow, of course. She thought she'd misplaced the remote on her 37-inch Toshiba, hadn't she? I remember that.
Yes.
But the next day she found that. We didn't cover that in the show. We should have. It was sloppy of us. So just so you can all relax, she did find that, which is also good news. Good news, guys, says Leanne in Romford. I drank my immune system into submission at the weekend. I subsequently have a cold. It does not matter, because I had a fabulous weekend at a friend's wedding, laughing hilariously all weekend. It's still making me smile now, and I have learned the value of drinking responsibly. Good work there, Leanne. Matt.
Good news, guys. I finally got to talk to the main man, Danny Wallace, this morning.
Oh. Is this a dental receptionist?
It's not a dental receptionist, I don't think. One just a little bit. To put the cherry on an already massive cake, he called me a lucky lady.
Yes.
I must sound more effeminate than I thought. Confirmed, consistent listener, Dan.
Loved speaking to her. Good news, guys. I overslept for the second day in a row, but work didn't notice yesterday and probably won't today, so I got extra sleep for free. It's from Helen in Ruislip, who says, I can reveal my identity as I work outside London in a place which does not receive XFM. Dom in Windsor, what's your good news?
Good news, guys. On Sunday, I'm off to Miami for 9 days' work, but my schedule has dropped from 7 days to 3, meaning my boss has given me 6 days drinking at his expense in the Miami sunshine. What a ninny hammer.
What a ninny hammer. Dom's got a six-day paid holiday to just hang out in Florida. Good work, Matt.
Good energy-saving news from Emma, whose electricity and gas bills have been slashed by over 75% since her flatmate moved out, and she had a new boiler fitted. Also, five-year-old Toby.
That's good, actually, Matt, isn't it? Because that sends a positive message about getting new boilers. Not only are they safer, but despite the initial outlay and expense, it can save money in the long term.
Economic. You check your lagging.
Does save money. Yeah.
I'd go for the combi boiler, personally.
Shut up, Dave.
Matt. Yes, sorry. I was going to say five-year-old Toby from Boreham Wood. His guinea pig, Daisy, is going to have guinea pig babies.
Oh!
Pop out a confirmed guinea pig. Mini guinea pigs are how sweet.
We'll take anyone. Baines says, good news, only 3 more days at work, then I'm off to the Edinburgh Festival. That's good news. Wes in Grimsby says, I overpowered the official first day of my cold to go for a 6 a.m. jog this morning, showing true Olympic Team GB spirit. Yes. They too could be tougher after a night on the decks until 4 a.m. And confirmed listener, Jack, what's your good news?
Good news, guys. I just saw an old lady eating a Twix.
He just saw an old lady eating a Twix, everybody. And that's not good news. That is great news. We are. XFL. In China, they've got a new way of calming traffic. You know what that is? New way of calming traffic. A lot of speeding motorists. They need to calm them down. So a gentleman annoyed that the local police weren't catching these motorists, just got a lady doll and dressed it up in a red dress and tied it to a tree. It sounds lovely, doesn't it? But it's worked. All the drivers are going by going, well, he thinks they're going, look at that lovely lady. In fact, they're going, why has someone tied a doll to a tree? This is unusual. So that's happened there. Maybe is that something that Boris could bring out?
Yeah, why not?
A doll on every junction? Strong junction.
We are
XFM.
The story here, about a man. There's more to it. He tried to dry his wet socks and his underwear in a microwave. And he set fire to his flat, right? Whoa. But it's saying this, well, that's the craziest thing in the world to do. I now understand it's not particularly safe. But you know what? I have to admit, I've done it. I did it once. In fact, I did it for a series of days. Because I was away. I was away. I was in America. And I'd forgotten to pack appropriate clothing. I'd left in a bit of a hurry. And I'd left the pile of underwear and socks and T-shirts and stuff just on a sofa or something. And off I went to the United States. And I thought, well, I'll buy some new stuff when I'm out there. You know, go to one of those big malls and just buy a load of stuff. Didn't have time. These people were working me very, very hard. I was working from early in the morning to late at night. And LA is very kind of widespread. If you happen to be in a part of town which doesn't have shops, if you don't have a car, forget about it. Yeah. You know, you can't get a cab on the street. It's very difficult. So I ended up every night having to, like a man out of the war, having to wash my smalls
in the sink
in a hotel bathroom with a tiny soap. And when the soap ran out, they weren't even replacing it. I had to use shower gel and socks. And then leave it to dry, always with optimism in my eyes, thinking it might be dry by morning. Air-conditioned rooms, never going to dry. Yeah. You're on a hiding to nothing. So I had to use the microwave that was in this room, in a little kitchenette area, to dry my underwear and socks every morning. In very hot Los Angeles weather, I was like leaving the room almost like my pants were smoking. You know, just kind of steam rising off them as I took them out of the
bleak chapter.
They would, the socks, they would burn, Matt. They would burn. It was a very thin cotton. So the water just turned to like boiling water and steam, and it would just, ow.
Scalding,
I was having to somehow just get my pants on and just walk around the rooms, almost scolding myself with the sheer heat of the microwaved smalls. So I'm looking at this story and I'm like, what's wrong with this? Seems like a sensible solution to... I mean, obviously he's got access to other underwear. This is in his own flat. I mean, for me, it was very much a necessity. Ever done anything like that?
No. why would I?
It's not just me and this bloke. It's not just me and this bloke from Weymouth.
What must they have thought, the people you're working for? You turn up in the same clothes every day.
I smelled great.
Yeah.
I said there was nothing wrong with my hygiene. If anything, I was being too hygienic with the combination of shower gel and an 850-watt oven. 30 seconds is all you really need. I'd somehow, you know, I'd crank it up to 45 if I was feeling feisty.
Yeah.
Never again. Luckily, I'll never need to, because now I can never not remember to pack pants. It's one of the things about me you'll come to learn as
thanks for sharing,
as we approach year two of the XFM XFM Breakfast Show.
XFM.
Hey, Mumford & Sons, so we're going to play the new record later on, aren't we, on XFM?
Yeah.
On Owen's show after
seven.
And what's it called? It's kind of like an Elvis number. It's called Wahoo. We're the Mumford
Boys. No, it's not called that.
No, it's not, is it?
No.
No, we're not allowed to say what it's called.
We're not.
Are we allowed to say we're not allowed to say what it's called?
It's too late.
But it's got a name, it's just that we're not allowed to say what the name is.
The track has a name, but it's so strictly embargoed because it's such a big event, a big moment. Mumford & Sons are back.
Yeah.
We're not allowed to say what the track is called.
Not allowed to say what the track is called.
Well, they've published the track listing for the album.
All right, Matt, leave it there.
You know, you could probably get it's like one of 12.
You've got 1 in 12 chance of getting it right. I think it's Do the Spin Around. Have you heard that Mumford track? Do the spin around for the classic Mumford sound. Do the spin around. I think they're going to open the album with that. Do the spin around.
Oh, yes.
It's great. It harks back to, I mentioned them earlier, like Chubby Checker and the Fat Boys doing the twist.
Doing the twist. Mm.
It's a bit like that. Do the spin around. No?
No, I thought that was more of a B-side for them, actually.
Look at Steve. Work experience, Steve. Do you see him? While we were talking away, he was just staring at a bit of paper. And you know what the paper is, don't you?
Yeah.
Earlier, I saw him. He was just doodling away. And I said, what are you up to? What are you doing? And he just looked at me. He's, it's a couple of rhymes. Going, are you laying down some rhymes? Yeah, because I'm cool. I'm down with the kids. So I was going, are you laying down some rhymes? Are you laying down some... some beats. That was out of my depth at that point.
Yeah, you were.
And he went, well, I'm writing a poem. And I thought, I'm back. You're writing a poem? You're writing a poem, are you? What are you writing a poem about? And he said, just the inspiration. I was going, what is it called, this thing? Because he's turning from the Billericay Nitwit into the Billericay Bard, isn't he? And you said that you've been so inspired recently by the current season of events that you have to have an outlet, you know? You're like Eminem in 8 Mile, aren't you?
Yeah.
Have to have an outlet for your rage and your passion as well, and that happens to be with the use of a Bic biro and a piece of A4. What is this poem that you've written?
It's called Cycling Proficiency.
And what's it about?
It's about cycling.
Yeah? What issues does it raise?
It's just about how I feel about it. Yeah. And
because just cycling in general, or?
Yeah, cycling. The people involved with cycling.
Yeah, cyclists.
Yeah. To use the name for them.
Yeah.
And it's just, I did a lot of poetry at uni.
Yeah.
You know, and I did a lot of like Milton and that, and there.
Yeah.
So this is going to be quite long.
Long poem.
You haven't really given me much time to edit it down.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a stream of consciousness.
Great. Well, there's nothing. I mean, the first thing is, there's no such thing as a long poem.
No. You're right.
It can't be too long. And the best types of poems are just stream of consciousness. So with Cycling Proficiency, here is the Billericay Bard, Work Experience, Steve.
Mountain, racing, folding Dutch. All I need is a chain, no sign of a clutch.
Yeah.
Fancy a race or maybe a hike? We need no engines, we need but only a bike.
Yes.
I learned at an impressive age, only 15. I could be seen with a shine and a gleam, pedalling along Billericay Stream, learning the ways of the noble bike, an educational journey that I sort of liked.
Oh.
And sure, I thought for many a year that bikes were titanium devils to fear, but had I known that bikes would be on the coolest platform, primetime TV, then I would have said to my friends and foes, get yourself a bike, get off Nintendo's.
It's long, isn't it? Lovely.
Now look at Wiggins. He's frigging piggins out on interviews and sponsored Adidas shoes. And Chris Hoy, oh boy, whether brave or coy, he uses that thing like it's a toy. Mm. They go together like rice and soy, like man and boy. Oh, Chris Hoy. Don't forget Pendleton, who also uses pedals like a ton to try and be number one at the cost of her youth and fun. She's also on my screen, sweat pouring off her with a gleam.
Mm.
And I've definitely heard of all these people before the Olympics started.
Yeah.
I just want to make that clear.
Yeah.
It's not something I've gotten into this year. And I wish to my bones I'd shared their dreams, and I could have foreseen that cycling could have worked out so lucratively.
Yes.
Then I too could have ridden bikes on TV.
What a long poem! What a long poem!
Wow.
Oh, that was so long!
I really got into that.
What a long poem!
It's been long, wasn't it?
Whoa, lengthy. So long, that poem! Well, Steve, well done on writing such a long poem.
XFM.
The story I want to talk about is, I mean, this happened yesterday after the show. Boris Johnson. What's he done this time? Well, brilliantly, he wanted to do like a zip wire stunt. And there's pictures in you know, a lot of the papers here about this. And this is a zip wire stunt. He's just got to go on a zip wire and, you know, the angle is such and his weight is such that it should just propel him forward.
Yeah, we heard him talking about it in the news yesterday after it.
Just after it, but all the I didn't realise what it looked like.
Yeah, the pictures are amazing.
Are incredible. I mean, there he is. He's just...
he's dangling.
He's dangling. He's a lovable dangling nit, isn't he?
Yeah.
And I don't know where he got these flags from, but as he dangled, stuck halfway down this zip wire with a kind of little blue helmet on and, I mean, these straps just a little bit too tight, he just somehow whipped these flags out. He looks like a sad little boy at a birthday party.
Yes.
When none of his friends have turned up. And he's got to have a picture taken with all the grown-ups. And they're going, come on, Boris, it's your birthday, you should be happy. And he's going, but none of my friends are here, Mummy. And they're going, well, we need to take the picture. Here, hold these flags and wave them and look happy. And that's what he looks like. He looks like a like a giant sad toddler and a baby bouncer. You know the baby bouncers that you have doorways? Yeah. He looks like one of them, a giant sad baby. Sad baby at his own party, and no one's turned up. And this makes me... Look, Steve's weeping. Is this a bit too close to home, Steve? But that's what he sort of reminds me of. And he's always doing this kind of thing, isn't he? He's always, and we love him for it. But I
mean, for his slapstick.
Yeah.
He's a vote winner.
Do we want him at number 10, though? That's the... No. I don't mind him at sort of mayoral level.
Yeah,
mayoral level, it's fine.
Yeah.
You know, can you imagine Mrs. Thatcher dangling off a zip line? Or Gordon Brown?
It would never have happened.
I mean, Gordon Brown had the sort of the sad toddler look as well.
Yeah.
But Boris has got the baby hair.
Or falling over in a river, which he did not long ago as well.
Yeah. The poor guy.
He is the Norman Wisdom of politics.
Yeah, and he's one of those guys where you can just say, Boris Johnson, what's he done this time?
Yeah.
Which leads me to think, I mean, we can't just let Boris take all the flak. We all do things, don't we?
He's not the only one.
He's not the only one, Matt. I mean, Matt, if I were to ask you... Matthew Dyson, what you done this time?
Danny.
I do.
Indoors only caught me watching the beach volleyball last night.
Oh,
bikini clad Brazil versus the sultry Spanish senoritas.
Oh, dear.
Had to come up with an off-the-cuff explanation of how I really enjoy watching all the different sporting events of the Olympiad and how it's great to have such access to variety through the red button.
Yeah.
I think I got away with it.
Oh, I don't know. It sounds like you're in the doghouse. That's what it sounds like to me. You know me.
Yeah. What have you done this time?
Only one and left the upstairs window open, didn't I? You know the one that makes the door bang when a small gust of wind blows through. Oh. Poor Mrs. Muggins, her indoors, yeah. She had to traipse upstairs, didn't she? So she didn't have enough to deal with because Muggins had forgotten to buy whole milk for little infant Muggins, yeah? So when she gets up there, the window's only gone and allowed a small puddle of water from an unexpected shower to collect on the original wood flooring. Now I'm in the doghouse. That's what's happening.
How many times does she have to tell you?
Time and time again, Matthew.
XFM.
Daniel Savazon has been in touch to say, when I was young, I had his shell suit. It was orange and yellow. It was my favourite, so I wanted to wear it every day. And one morning, it was wet. So I put on the fire guard, turned on the fire. It's a bad move because it melted to the metal fire guard. Oh, man. So he lost a fire guard that day as well. Not just the orange and yellow shell suit, but it was a fire guard down as well.
Mm.
These are strange times. I can't believe no one else has ever microwaved their pants.
Well, I was just thinking, if you're microwaving things, and you were saying you were smelling Daisy Fresh each day,
Fresh, yeah.
Surely what was previously in the microwave, you were then just going to smell of that. So if it was a cup of soup, for instance, surely the clothes going in straight afterwards...
Well, it was just my socks. It was just my... Because I would always put my socks and my pants in, so it would always smell like that.
Yeah, but you're saying it smells fresh. Surely not completely fresh, because it might smell...
They were cleaners. I mean, cleaners would take care of the cleaning, you know.
Well, they clean the inside of the microwave
every day. Yeah, of course they would, yeah.
I don't think they would.
Well, they're employed to do that, so... I mean, you're casting aspersions on... the fine cleaners at the Sheraton Universal. Well, I don't know why you're doing that. Legally, you've led us into a very murky path.
I just think...
It's going to take you a while to get up to speed with the show again, Dave.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
Magic Mike. Magic Mike, those two words. Matt, what do you think of immediately when I say Magic Mike?
I think of jock straps.
It's 9 minutes past seven.
Come on.
They're just a form of undergarment.
I suppose they are just a form of undergarment. But that's what you think when I say Magic Mike. Because of that film.
I've heard there's a bit more to it than maybe meets the eye, though.
Is that right?
It's quite dark, apparently.
Is it?
Yeah.
So it's a film about some male strippers, isn't it? And Matthew McConaughey's in it. I can't remember who else. Some other people are in it. But pity, please. Pity. Britain's own Magic Mike.
Oh.
Who is a children's entertainer. Who drives around in a massive purple van. Emblazoned with a 2-foot wand. And Magic Mike, written in big golden letters. And he's getting a lot of work at the moment, but not the kind of work he wants. A lot of bookings. A lot of requests.
A lot of very disappointed hen nights.
Very disappointed, because the last thing they want is Magic Mike turning up with Oscar the Parrot, Chuck the Cheeky Teenager, and Brazilian tourist Carlos. Those are Magic Mike's three characters. And so now, you know... He faces a quandary. I mean, does he continue with the job he's always done, or does he turn his hand to entertaining the ladies.
Oh, right.
You know, that's what I'm thinking.
Could he combine the two?
Magic and removal of clothes. Yes, probably, couldn't he? I mean, there's got to be a way.
Yeah.
I sense a management consultant role for you.
Yeah,
you're straight on there. I've got exactly...
I'm like a life coach.
I would watch that television programme. You coaching children's entertainers. with your lightness of touch, the joy in the heart. I mean, you're always, you know, so effervescent, aren't you? Yeah. You light up a room when you walk in, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. We are
XFL. What you done this time? These people. I'm not angry with them, Matt. I'm just disappointed.
I despair. I really do.
Tell me about someone who's in the doghouse, will you?
Well, you know Mark in Dartford.
What's he done this time?
Well, he's only gone and changed the date that his broadband direct debit leaves his account 1 month early.
He knows this!
Meaning the aforementioned service is now suspended, pending payment, leaving her indoors with no internet, all week and three bored kids on school holidays.
He's his own worst enemy, isn't he, Matt? He's his own worst enemy. Confirm listener Rachel, you know her?
Yes, what's she done this time?
Oh, she says, old Muggins here. I was only supposed to put the rubbish out while my housemates are away on holiday. I only went and forgot, didn't I? That'll be another week until the dustmen come again. What a nincompoop, I'm in the doghouse.
Bone idle, that
Rachel,
girl.
She's bone idle. She treats the place like a hotel, I'm telling you that.
She does. Oh, you know Matt Aintree Carpentry.
What's he done this
time? I'm not sure what his name is, but I think it might be Matt Aintree.
Okay.
Or he works for Aintree Carpentry.
Well, what's he done this time anyway?
His alarm keeps waking up his missus at 5:15 with the most annoying dog barking alarm tone.
The very definition of a long-suffering wife, that woman, I'll tell you that.
She ain't happy.
She's not happy, is she? Oh, man, I've only gone and done it again, says Boris. Got stuck on a zip wire in Victoria Park. Brackets. It's not really Boris. It's confirmed listener Fran. Close brackets.
Oh.
Oh, but a bit of satire, nevertheless.
Nice.
Nevertheless. You know, Samantha.
What's she done this time?
She's only supposed to pick up a new printer cartridge so that him indoors could print out a form he needs to sign. She's supposed to do it on Monday, Tuesday and Thursday. She didn't go out Wednesday. Now his form's 2 days late and Muggins is in the doghouse. She's in the doghouse. Oh, Samantha.
Samantha.
I confirm listener Andy the Gas Man. What you done this time?
I'm in the doghouse due to 20 plus photos emerging of me on Facebook with my gentleman's agreement out in some way, shape or form.
Oh, wow. He's been taking photos of his gentleman's agreements again, hasn't he?
A swift de-tagging is called for.
Posting them on the internet. Oh, couldn't say it. I was so flabbergasted.
Dear, oh dear.
Andy, when will you learn?
He's such an exhibitionist,
isn't he? It's the phrase, my gentleman's agreement, in some shape or form, that worries me. The imagery. Yeah. Stark imagery.
Was it puppetry?
I don't know.
Sure.
You know, Max.
What's he done this time?
Well, his girlfriend. Her indoors. She's had a puppy for just 3 days and he spent the day with it yesterday. It now prefers him and won't go near her.
Oh.
He's literally in the doghouse with that dog and Joe finally. Oh, she's in the doghouse. You know what she's done this time?
What's she done this time?
Well, Thursday night's DVD night, yeah? He wanted Harry Keery, Way of the Samurai. She agreed, but then... And secretly, she downloaded the Sarah Jessica Parker flick The Family Stone while he was picking up the Chinese.
Oh.
She's in the doghouse, I'm telling you that. Oh, when will they learn? When will you sort it out? You're grown-ups. Thank you very much for those.
It sounds like a stuck record you are, Danny.
Doesn't matter how many times I tell them.
No, they never listen.
They never listen. XFM. So, 4 hours of very important broadcasting, but crucially, what have we learned today, Matthew?
Well, if I was to sum up the show today in a series of snapshot key words,
yes,
they would be the following.
Okay.
Danny showing us his business in the show business. Beth Tweddle, a room filled entirely with flumps. Sir Chris Hoy rhymed with rice and soy.
Yes.
Danny's microwaved undercrackers, guinea pig babies, gas bills, boilers, and the Brownlee brothers.
Great, thank you very much. Don't forget to do the spin around. And poor little producer Dave struggled to get back into the swing of things after a week off with ill-timed bad.
badly thought out interjections, damaging the flow of the show and creating content cul-de-sac after content cul-de-sac for me to have to reverse the XFM link van out of. Very much reconsult the show sat nav. He tried to name a new feature. This is Showbiz.
I showed you the business.
Be quiet, Dave. Then he was desperate to let us know his heating preferences.
Check your lagging. Check your lagging.
Does save money.
I'd go for the combi boiler, personally.
Yeah.
Shut up, Dave. And he slandered some cleaners. Legally, you've led us into a very murky path.
I just think...
It's going to take you a while to get up to speed with the show again, Dave. XFM. So there you go, that was podcast number 55 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. The password for next week's podcast is podcast 56. Keep it to yourself. Bye-bye. Yes, we are.